So this is going to be our interview with Frizzy. We're at Gus and Yaya's on the north side. What better peaceful place in Pittsburgh?
Just one
person.
That's
right. And if you're listening to the Jagoff podcast, it's usually all about Pittsburgh. We usually have a bunch of characters on it. But this day is dedicated to Frizzy. So we're going to call it the 111 podcast episode.
Triple ones, yeah.
And make sure you listen to on
radio.com, baby. It makes sense to call it triple ones. It's all three of us, and we are all number one.
Rorick Honda is all about family. In fact, Rorick wants you to test drive the ultimate family vehicle, the Honda Odyssey.
Rorick treats you like family with its Rorick Advantage, which is helpful tips and must-haves as long as you are a customer. So check out yajagoff.com for clips from our trip, and as always, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway. Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Kevin Wild Bill.
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Rocky Blyer.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yo, mates, they nasty. Question. Yo, got gold in it. Everything that I bring got gold in it. Ay, my team got gold in it. My jersey 19 got gold in it.
Right. Wait, repeat that again.
A little heavy in the case.
But I always say I got junk in the trunk.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean. I call it the bakery, man. I got cakes for days.
That voice is Frizzy, who was on our podcast just recently from Rorick Honda, the karaoke,
man.
And raising money for Zachary's mission.
It was crazy
and you
day.
Came to us. You do all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, man.
And you came to us and said, "Have you guys ever done a podcast that's just sort of like an exclusive?" Issue
right,
episode,
right.
And,
we
say?
Said no.
We said we will now.
Come yes.
On. Come on. Well, no, I appreciate you guys. I love working with special people and doing special things.
Well,
and to be able to do something something new, right?
Yeah.
I like to call them untouchables, right? Things that haven't been done yet, make history.
Yep.
And this is the Jagoff history, right? It's the first one.
Hall of Famer, HOFer.
Hey, hang it from the rafters.
So, again, going back a couple of episodes, we talked to you. We have a lot of fun on the podcast. And,
yeah.
And we had you singing. And people can go back and watch the Jagging Around video that we did with you on the north side at Gus and Yaya's.
Which was amazing.
And we just thought, you know, look, we love this idea of getting a little bit more in depth with you in this special episode.
Thank
so,
you.
First of all, thanks for your time as you're getting ready to head back to L.A.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Getting every bags are packed, halfway packed. I still got to put my socks in there. I lose socks a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Along the road? Because I think I found one in the north side.
You probably did. Well, I mean, it's funny, man. Even when you know, I met you at the David Allen's Fashion Show. Shout out to David.
Yes.
And he had me in the white suit, real smooth. And it was raining, which was great because I had a lot of baby oil on it. So it helped me,
helped
me shine a little bit.
We knew.
But I lost my socks that day. Luckily, Steve Madden. I feel like I'm plugging a lot. But Steve Madden gave me these really cool shoes that don't require socks. So luckily, I was okay. But a lot of cold heels.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, David Allen's style is no socks at this point.
Yes,
so
it
you're
kind
of like right up in there.
I was good, man. No,
we're
no
still waiting
ankles.
On John's suit from David Allen. We got to throw a plug in there.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hold my boy up, man.
I need one with an extra pouch right in the front here. Just to tuck around my belly.
No, first of all, we call it a fanny pack.
That's okay.
You know what I mean? Thank you. Those are coming back in style.
They are in style. That was an 80s thing.
Come on. Sexy. Look, John, he know what it is.
Fanny packs are sexy.
You
that's going to be, I'm the poster child.
You gotta,
no, I'll
you gotta
never have a fanny pack.
I know you won't.
You say that now. Now I'm going to gift him one and you got to wear it or you'll be rude. He's not that rude of a guy, man. He's going to wear it.
You're
I promise.
Right.
That's gonna, it's
you
gonna
are
fly
so
now.
Right.
It's going to have gold in it.
No
oh,
my gosh. I want to start it by
it.
Saying, you know, there's certain people who come into your life where you're like, okay, we can't wait. Example, wanted to meet a certain car salesman, right?
Yes.
Couldn't wait to meet him. We were like,
yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, it's cool.
We met Frizzy there because I thought he looked like Bobby Brown, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
At the David Allen
on.
Fashion
yeah.
Show. And then from then on, it was like, man, you are so charismatic. You literally light up a room when you come in.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I think, as you said on the podcast, I think it has something to do with your Pittsburgh roots.
Because
there's something about Pittsburghers, you're relatable, and you make people think they've known you longer than they have.
Right. It was a hometown thing,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, I think... For me, and I'm you know, I'm a religious guy, right? I'm a spiritual dude. And
you are? Start
yes,
there.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it.
Spiritual guy. I grew up in the church.
Okay.
And I got I have 73 tattoos.
Okay.
The Lord's Prayer on me, and angelic symbols all over me, everything like that.
Okay.
But because of that, it created this notion for me growing up that the person who I'm taught and raised to know and to love, and it is said to love me back, is God, right? But I've never officially met him, right, in person. But because of that, I still feel close to him, right? No mm-hmm. matter what. When I was first born, it was supposed to be that he knew me forever, right? It was in the plan. So to be made in his image and to be that type of person, when I meet somebody, I want them to feel like I've known them forever.
That
they can trust me, that I'm here to help. They're going to bless me, I'm going to bless them. But if I'm, that's the perfect person to copy. If I'm going to mimic anybody, that's the goal, you know?
That's faith, yeah. Right.
And that's, you grow, mm-hmm. and I think we'll talk about that in a little bit later, but as you grow, this is going to be hard to keep that, right?
Yeah.
Because
as the insanity
starts to pull at
right? It has now, I think. I was just talking to Rach about, shout out, to my amazing management group, the Sand Project, and they represent me in a way of who I am and who I'm also becoming. Mm-hmm. And rules say, the industry says, I shouldn't be having conversations with certain people directly, or I shouldn't be, right? I've worked hard enough to be a Jagoff.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But that's not who I am.
Right.
And I also know that it's not only what you can do, but it's who you know why you do it. And if you're not asking for help, your dream's not big enough.
That's it.
So you never know who's gonna be there for you to help you. You know, you guys have already put a lot of opportunities and had me shake a lot of hands that I've never met before, regardless of who I think I am, right? But it's those things that makes it important. Yes, the earth is important, but we're nothing without the moon, and you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you have to realize those things. So
Well, even from a mother's standpoint, you know, they say the scariest thing, you know, there's books on motherhood, but really, right, you have to live it to know it. And so it takes a tribe to raise a family.
Come on.
So even though I stayed home with my children for years, it took the neighbors, the grandparents, the cousins, because I'm one person. So you're right. It's so important that way.
It's all about that. And your daughter's personality is phenomenal.
Well,
right?
Thank
and
you,
amazing.
Yeah.
And but to see that, I mean, she got that from somewhere. And
somewhere,
she learned that, you know what I mean? Yep. From her mom and from her brothers and being the person that who she is. And I think that's important, is to lead by example.
Do you feel that your family played a big part? You seem to be a family guy.
Very much so, man. Yeah. Very much so. Big on that. My nephew just turned 10. And that's like literally my little mini me. I'm training for that myself. I'm excited to be a dad one day myself.
Okay.
But my mother, my father, my sister, all that, right? My whole family is close. But I also had to learn, it's very interesting that we're even talking about this, because as I have gotten bigger and have become who I am, but also my personality has changed, right? My values have changed. I expect more out of myself and those around me. I've grown a little distant to some of my family because of who they are, or because of the energy that they bring around. And I had to sometimes realize that just because they're connected to you in that way doesn't mean that, you know, you can love them and not like them.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right? So that's been a very interesting thing for me to deal with, too, where I've been in this place where, like, if you're not bringing value to my life, or you're not bringing positivity into my life, or if, like, you're not in my life and I don't feel any difference, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try to fix that, but if you're not fixing that, it's a two-way street.
That's it.
I'm good.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We share the same blood. It's all right. I'll hit you up later. I'll see you at the reunion. If you can get past my security. And it's that type of... But also I'm super close, you know, with my mom and my dad. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them believing in me and me making a choice to do this.
Yeah.
Right? And them being like, we'll support you. We're behind you. Mm-hmm. Paying for trips on the Greyhound back and forth to New York City to try to win battles and stuff like that.
I love it. Yeah.
Like, and those things in the beginning of my career, and having those experiences, my family in New York let me sleep on a couch for different things. Like, people don't, you know, what's so funny, man, is that when people see scars on you, right, they think you survived, right? They're like, oh man, that's an incredible, what's that from? And what's that mark from? And what's that mark from? But no one ever asks about the war. They just ask about the survival.
Right.
So even on my album that I did, God, King, Slave, which is one of my mentalities, right? Create like a god, rule like a king, work like a slave. I did the photo.
I love that, by the way. Isn't that words to live by? Mm-hmm. That's man in the mirror material.
Yeah, I did the cover that way with my back, because I wanted them to see, what would you, if you saw somebody with just whip slashes on his back, it would create sorrow, but if you saw somebody with just a crown on her head, you would think, oh, it's a king.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you saw somebody with both? What would you ask first?
Wow.
You know, So that's something that my family has pushed me through and got me through, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And, you know, if my mom doesn't want to work another day in her life, she'll never have to.
So let's talk about, you talked about your nephew being 10.
Yeah, yeah.
What is Frizzy doing when he's 10? And how is Frizzy getting, what kind of music are you listening to?
Wow,
what are you doing when you're 10? And let's move up to the current day.
That's a good question, man.
That's a good question, man. You can't say that. You know that's our biggest competition, right?
What is?
If you say that's a good question.
Oh!
It's 1-0.
So I have to up my game.
You got it. I expect more from
thinking,
you, man.
I'm thinking.
Jay is out here, man. Wow, at 10. So here's the interesting. Big video game dude.
Okay.
So I'm playing video games. I'm in it. I'm blowing. At that point, we're blowing in the cartridges.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Right.
Sega wasn't always consistent. So, you know what I mean? So I was doing that. My dad played for Kent State and played semi-pro ball. So I was really big into basketball.
Okay.
So just watched. I mean, Ninja Turtles is my favorite movie of all time, right? So I would watch Ninja Turtles constantly. I think the first one had just came out around that time. So that's what I was doing a lot of. Wow. So my mom, that's a funny story. So everybody listens to me as a rapper, and they're like, oh, Frizzy's the next Jay-Z. These magazines call me Jay-Z. I didn't become a Jay-Z fan until I was like 18 because my mom would only let me listen to Will Smith because he didn't cuss.
Okay.
So at the time, I'm only listening to Will Smith as a teenager going into my teen years. But I mean, I could quote, still to this day, I'm pretty sure I could rap a couple different ones. But like, that's what it was. It was Will Smith no matter what. And even when my friends would be sitting down having the Tupac and Biggie conversations, I was always like, but no, y'all not thinking about Will, though. Y'all not understanding.
Did they laugh at you? Seriously.
They did. Like, but it's funny because the people that laughed at me for rapping Will Smith were now buying tickets to my concert.
Oh, right. There you
go. So it's interesting. Yeah. That, you know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, no, that's me at 10 years old. I'm on that, man. I remember just wanting to learn all the words to his music. And I was all about basketball. I wasn't even trying to be a artist. So it's funny now to see who I am as an artist now and how my memory is to be based on me just learning Will Smith songs, just to learn Will Smith songs, you know? Mm-hmm. And taking that athlete, I used to sleep with my basketball because my dad was like, that's what I did, so that's what you do. So
okay.
Even to this day, he bought me,
yeah,
the big Lakers fan, he bought me this Lakers pillow that I still have to this day.
Like Magic Johnson years or?
No, like Kobe.
Okay.
Because when I played in school, a lot of my friends will tell you, my nickname was KB.
Because
I used to play like Kobe. So you
okay. Okay.
So I had this Lakers basketball that I would sleep with, and I still have it to this day. So,
oh.
Yeah.
And then,
favorite Will Smith song?
Of all time?
All time.
Ooh.
Oh, no one's ever asked me that.
Well, at Halloween
time.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Nightmare on My Street, because it's Halloween coming up.
See, I want to do the plug, but I don't know. You know what, to be honest with you? Maybe Men in Black.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm.
Maybe Men in Black.
I love the way he mixed, which you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you listen to even the Mr. Rogers song, obviously, it's that playful kind of, because one of my questions was going to come back to, you know, we all grew up in an era, or a genre.
Yes.
Where your parents don't necessarily want you to listen to something in particular. I'm there now, right?
There's certain
things that I'm like,
right.
I'm okay with it because they need to hear, but
at the same time, you don't want people.
And the cussing, obviously,
is the
biggest thing. But I grew up in a time when rap really was starting to come in, right?
Right, right.
And so Rob Bass came out and everyone was like, I'm Rob Bass and I came. And everyone was like, whoa.
Whoa, what is that? Right,
you know,
right.
White girls. What? So for you to think about the dips and valleys, right? Because you talk about Biggie and Tupac.
Right.
Crazy time.
Yeah.
90s were not a good time
not
for
a good
that
time.
Industry.
At all.
How, you said your parents were supportive. How does that look now compared to, it had to have at one point been like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a career in basketball.
Say, Rachel, is there a question here somewhere?
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you mean.
Sorry.
No, I know what you mean, though. Yeah, there had to have been a moment where, but see, that's it's weird. That's not me, right?
Yeah.
My dad taught me, there's no plan Bs. Right, we don't throw things at the wall.
Okay.
We are the wall. And that's been my mentality growing up at all. I know that whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to be the best to ever do it. I'm at this hip-hop thing that I'm doing right now, you know, creating a legacy, becoming an icon and making history and changing people's lives, and I will be the best rapper to ever do it. I'm not doing it to start the conversation. I'm doing it to end it.
That's crazy. No pats on the back or anything, but I remember my kids, they're deciding what to do in life.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care if you're a toilet cleaner.
Right.
Be the very best toilet cleaner you will ever
Come
be.
Come on.
Right?
Why not?
Yeah.
Right? I, and unfortunately, in this where we're living now, right? Because I'm a, I forget what they call me. I'm not a millennial, but I'm
Gen
a,
X.
Gen X. Yeah. Or I'm like, well, I'm not, oh, no, I'm in no, the between. You... I'm something millennial. There's something where I'm in between.
Okay.
34. 30, well, 33 until 33 two weeks.
Friday.
No, yeah, but I, no, but though, but like I understand where they come from and doing things like that, but I also come from the hardworking yes. generation. So I, so, but nowadays everybody wants stuff so quick, right?
Yes.
They want it right in front of them.
Like instant gratification.
Instant gratification. And it, they try to find shortcuts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love walking. Like, the shortcut is fun, but I love mm-hmm. I love walking. Mm-hmm. I think somebody asked me that, like, with the Steve Madden deal. They're like, how you feel about having a shoe deal as a rapper? I was like, it makes sense because I love walking. Mm-hmm. I love the journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of it.
Wow.
And, you know, you want to – I view people as competition. And this is – right, I always have a Jay-Z lyricism with a 50 Cent mentality.
Yeah.
And I always look at people, the other rappers. I love you. I support you. It's great, but I'm going to destroy you. This is yeah. a competition right now. We're not in a group. But I always thought to myself, what's the best way to walk in another man's shoes is to be friends with the man who makes the shoes.
Mm.
So the Steve Madden makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's fantastic. Wow, yeah, this, I want to go backwards
again. You glad
again.
I introduced you to him?
I want to go backwards a little bit further then because yeah. I love the work ethic that you say your parents
same.
Instilled in you. Because
thank you, man.
I think as parents, Rachel and I try to do the same. She has a son who's about to really kind of break things open in a sport.
Come on.
And I have a son, you know, maybe lucky enough he'll have something happen. But
go.
But the fact is that what made you is more than your parents.
Yeah.
So how about your grandparents? What are the stories?
Wow.
What story
true,
do you
right?
hear
it
from
is.
Your parents
yeah.
that
is.
Forced that do you go, I will never forget that?
Let me tell you, it's interesting. Right?
Good question, John.
Good question, John. I got to hit him. I'm sorry. He did it. You guys are hitting me. What
totally
I love
I
is.
Talk to I'm done.
I need you to come out the door busting, man. I need you to come out the door busting. Well, you know, I do a lot of press, man. And it's, you guys are asking me some stuff people's never asked me
yeah.
before.
Yeah,
I love
exciting.
It.
Oh, good.
Well, so my grandfather, my mom's from New York, Manhattan, Lower East Side.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's the oldest girl of 13.
Wow.
Right, so I'm the oldest grandson. I was the firstborn in that group, so I'm the oldest grandson of 22 now.
Wow.
And every summer, my grandfather would make us come to New York to learn how to swim. My grandpa's an Olympic swimmer.
Jesus.
So
all these little secrets.
I used to hate it. I
yeah.
used to hate. Like, yeah, even yeah. to this day, my relationship with New York is very different. Because people mm-hmm. are like, oh, we going to New York. And I'm like, F New York. I've been there a million times. And, you know, growing up, it was funny, man. My mom grew up, you know, they grew up very, you know, not super duper wealthy, but very comfortable.
Uh-huh.
Right? A lot of couches. And but then as my grandfather grew up and had more and more kids, his pullout game was terrible. More and more kids. He no, if I can say that on here.
Yeah, you can.
He you know, when I started to visit as a young I got him, I broke him. It was
you
good.
Did.
Started to grow you know, they lived in the Bronx and different places, right? That where you had to wrap your cereal in garbage bags to make sure the roaches didn't get in it. That's what every visit was like. But my grandfather still had the man. He woke up every morning, went to the track, ran. He made us swim laps. Like, I'm a really good swimmer because of that. He's an athlete. My dad was an athlete. So I grew up with that athletic mentality from my grandfather that distilled
right.
in me to my father, which I will, you know, I'm putting on my nephew now and also teach my daughter or my son. So it's interesting that's ingrained in me. It's in my ancestry of who I am, of someone who now comes to me even for my music. When I first started to fall in love with Jay-Z and his music and who he was, I would just like, it was before DVDs, right? So I would just like, every time something would come on, like a special or MTV diary, anything, I would record it. I would go out and buy VHS and I would record it. And I still have all the stacks of VHSs of every Jay-Z. This is now on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
But I have
yeah.
the push and stop and record right there. Right. Or am I going to get the commercials for this one? Am I not? But I used to sit there. I still do it to this day. I sit there and I watch, Jay-Z has a DVD called Fade to Black.
Mm-hmm.
And before any show I do, no matter what, I watch it.
Hmm.
I sit down and I watch the tradition I have, and even with the band or the tour mates, everybody, even my security, you have to watch this
mm-hmm.
movie with me
mm-hmm.
or we're not going
to
work together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to have you guys watch it.
So, yeah.
So, but it's something that is, it's like going over tape.
Yeah.
Right? He's considered the best rapper of all time. So I have to study tape of anybody
figure him
else
out.
Because mm-hmm. that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the one I ought to get. So, yeah, so that's from my grandfather to my dad to now, right. So it's just, it's wild, man, when you really, I never really sat back and thought about knowing that every summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it even works with you to the winter because you're like, I'm not going to see him to the summer, but I got to practice because
yeah.
when I get out there.
He's going to ask me. Right.
And I'm not, keeping up with him in these swimming laps is going to be a problem, or teaching me how to hold my breath for over a minute, right? As a young kid, my lungs ain't built for that.
Sure.
Right? But now I can run faster than anyone chasing their dreams.
What about, to dovetail from that, family traditions? You're a family guy. What's your favorite family tradition?
Here's the interesting thing for me. I was just literally talking about this the other day. Is I've never been on a vacation, actually.
What?
Yeah, which is really weird. And my nephew just went to Universal, and he was like throwing it in my face, like, "Oh, you don't know how amazing it is." And I realized that my family never took vacations. We never actually. My sister's taking them now, and we never took vacations. And that's the thing that I think I missed out on, and I'm pretty still jealous about that. And I still want to do that now, but I'm working so hard in my career at this place now where I don't really even have time to do it. But for the Christmas tree, my mom would always give us our own ornaments.
Okay.
And anybody in our lives that came into our lives and was special, they would get their own ornaments. My father worked for the School of the Blind growing up, so we would have a lot of people with disabilities or different diseases, different things going on with them. And they would sometimes stay with us in our house growing up. I mean, a lot of people stay with us in and out of the house.
Yeah.
And they would all get a Christmas ornament to put on the tree.
That.
So that's something.
Look at that
that's
tradition.
A tradition.
That is.
That,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that was always really fun to have. Even I'm a big pet person. I'm a big animal person.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, I call my little brother, our cat, passed away. And I have his paw prints tattooed on me.
Oh my god, yeah.
And I actually built a movie theater in my house, which is one of my, but it's called Doe. His name was Doe Cinemas, and he has his own shrine in the house, but he does have his own ornament as well. And right, so those are the things I think that's important. If you get an ornament in the house,
you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
how
I mean?
Are we gonna do that?
I know, we need a Jagoff ornament.
We're gonna, yeah, they don't say that, he said.
Oh no, we do now.
We do.
We do now.
So let's fast forward.
Yeah.
You start to you're going to New York, you're doing rap battles.
Yeah.
And suddenly something happens, somebody gives you a call, and it's the next level.
Well,
then somehow you the next level, and then there's this Mr. Rogers opportunity.
Right, right.
Would that be the part
but
that
even,
or
can
was
we,
there a time we're missing?
Or even hear about for real, I think there's some people in Pittsburgh who would not understand what a rap battle is.
Yeah.
It's right. Well, it's changed.
Yeah. Because
now it's different, right?
Okay.
When I was coming, I'm saying like I'm not old. But when I was starting in my career, they'd play a beat, and you just had to go against each other. And it was not only about making sure I was saying dope stuff, but I also had to stay on beat.
Kind of like Eminem did in 8 Mile.
Literally. No.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what Eminem did.
Okay.
But now rap battles don't have beats, and also now they get months or a month to prepare. So like if somebody's like, oh, you know what I mean? You're battling your Jagoff.
It's a millennial.
I get to sit down and, and like do research on you and write stuff, which makes it very entertaining because they have stuff prepared and they bring up stuff from people's past. And,
sure.
But it does also remove the spontaneity of talent.
Yeah.
Of being like, how fast can your brain move? How quickly can you do this? And even when you're not prepared, right? Like what we did with Gus in the last in the last episode. Being able to be put on the spot like that. Like that's where I think the essence of real hip hop comes from. What they do is phenomenal and what they do is amazing. And even if with all my talent and who I am going against them, I would prepare because I know how talented they are.
Yeah.
But it still has nothing against you know what I mean, being able to
there's
a difference in cooking something on the stove and putting it in the microwave.
Yeah, right. We
can eat both of them.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Some they say cause cancers. Whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it. You know? I'm just saying what I read. But that happens. So it's interesting. Yeah, but
that
interesting. We do have to remind everybody that if you're listening to this, go to the Jagoff website, jagoff.com, because the video of you being at Gus's and rapping about Gus and Yaya Snowball is on there.
It was crazy being there. It was a perfect day.
Rachel put you right on the spot.
She did, man. She called me out. She treated me like a Dalmatian. I was okay with it. you know, she was very Cruella, but I was all right with it. You know, she was okay. You know, I was like, she looked good in fur. I can't lie. I brought I bought her first a Honda.
She smiled.
It worked out. She smiled, you know. But no, yeah, man. No, yeah. If y'all listening to this, man, go check it out, man. I've never had Gustin's before, so they brought me out there. It was a great experience, man. So I get to see y'all on another day, which is crazy.
There you go.
Right,
there you go.
Right. So the rap battles, going back to the rap
battles.
Right,
right, right.
Just craziness.
So that's sort of where it started.
That's sort of where it started, yeah. Okay. Well, because I have a song about to come out called 16 Summers, right? I've been doing this for 16 years.
Wow.
And they say it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
So people see where I'm at now in my career, and they're like, oh, Frizzy just came out of nowhere. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you know how many doors I've knocked on that have not been open, right? To now I have the key to the city so I can get into wherever I want.
That's it.
January 11th, that's a plug.
Nice.
so, you know. But, but yeah, when I started, it was really cool. My aunt, who lived in Brooklyn, who owned a club called Kush at the time, her husband at the time was a very big popular guy in the city, and he knew a lot of people in the game. And when he brought me out, he was like, I'll manage you, and I got to go to New York. But that's kind of how you, in the beginning, and especially in the early 2000, I started rapping around 2005 2006, where you had to prove yourself. You had to go to a rap battle, and you had to battle. And New York's the mecca of hip-hop. So I was killing people over here. I was doing my thing. I was on WAMO. WAMO at the time was the biggest place to be.
Right.
So I was doing all that over here. And then it was like, well, you know what? In order to really be who I need to be, you got to go to New York. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm all about. I got to go against the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there, and I did that. And I won all the battles I did over there. And some of the most epic, iconic places, like the Pyramid Club, that's not there anymore, but places that were really great. And that helped build a rep for me, and I got to work with, at the time, Fabulous was my favorite rapper. He was with a group called Desert Storm. I got to work with Desert Storm, and he was kind of my mentor for a while. But I'll never forget, I was in New York, and they had this rap battle in front of Hot 97. Like, Hot 97 is still Hot 97 now, but it was, and if you won this battle, you got to go up there and do it. So I get there, and I mean, there's rap, there's hood dudes everywhere. And this is like New York hood, like a whole different, but it's in front of Hot 97, which is in the middle of Manhattan. And we do the battle, and I win. And I think, oh, I'm going to get a chance to go up. And they're like, no, nah, I'm still bringing my boy up, son. You're not from New York, so you can't come up. And it was like a thing I realized. But he was like, yo, Frontmaster Flex is coming in the morning. Give him your CD. You're dope. I'll let him know you're coming.
Were you like, I hate you right now?
Oh, absolutely. But here's the part that taught me something, because I was so excited for that moment. And I had this demo. I had a demo deal with Sony at the time. So I had this demo with my photo in it. Had a sleeve. People forget about sleeves.
Oof.
Had a sleeve in it.
Yeah.
My thing was printed on the CD. I thought I was doing it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, I get to meet Funkmaster Flex. And they're like, just be here. He gets here at 6 a.m.
So you
now, at this
at
time,
five.
It's at this time, right? At this time, it's like 12:30 at night. But the train stopped running at a certain time. I'll never forget, I had to take the Q back to Flatbush to get to my aunt's house where I was staying. But the train had stopped running. So I could get the train back to her. And not only maybe it'd take me about an hour and a half to get back to her, sleep for an hour, have to get back. Instead of risking it was snowing. But there was a bench in front of Hot 97. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sleep at this bench and set my alarm. I had a T-Mobile slide, Sidekick.
Yes, I was convinced.
Woo! Thought I was the man back then. but I slept on this bench to wait for Funkmaster Flex to show up.
No kidding.
And it was snowing. I remember how cold that night was. And he showed up, and I woke up, and I caught him. He said he was coming at 6, so I set my alarm for 5:45. I woke up, and I just sat there, and I waited for him. He showed up. I walked up to him. Hey, I won a DJ K-Slay battle last night. They didn't bring me up, but he said you would take this. And he took it. He was like, get this the fuck out of here. And flung it. Boom.
What?
And it was a moment for me, and he laughed and then walked upstairs. To this day, I got a chance to meet him. He doesn't even remember it. But for me, it was a moment for me where I was like, because that's what motivates me, right? Those are the things that motivate me. I always say bad music motivates me, but bad experiences motivate me more. And I'm also working, I'm a Scorpio, so I'm a vengeful person. So if you do me wrong, the best is success, right? The best revenge is success.
Right.
So I was like, okay.
I'm going to put it in your ass.
I'm going to, right.
Well, hey.
No lube. You know what I'm saying? I want him to feel all of it.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? She set me up. But yeah, that was a humbling moment for me to realize, like, wow, you know? And also I started looking at people and going, well, what is making them successful? And I realized, like, you know, Hot 97 is an amazing radio station, but it is also, it's a local station. It just so happens that New York is a big market.
Right.
But if you go somewhere else, they're not listening to Hot 97 every day. So I can kill everything around here and get back here with a lot more ammo than I had before. Because these people have friendships. I don't have friendships. So that's what taught me, okay, it's connections as well. It's not just how strong your signal is. It's how thick your wires are. And I was like, this is what I need to do. And it helped me. And it's still my business since today. I love building relationships with good people. When I realized if you can build a relationship with someone and have the talent to back it up, oh my gosh, right? Because there's a lot of non-talented people out here with a lot of friends.
Yes.
But imagine the people who are talented with those friends. They get the first phone call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, people think you're lucky, but there is luck
our
to get you there.
Are easy
but
and lucky.
But you don't get a chance to take advantage of luck when it comes unless you've done the work.
Thank you.
You do the work, and if someone opens a door, if you're not able to walk through the door, you're done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank
so you do all the work, and then yes, luck does have to play somewhere along the way.
Right.
But in the meantime, you have to be prepared to take advantage of luck when it comes to you.
But you know what? How I see it too, man, and I might sound crazy for this, but I have a friendship with luck as well, right? Like, so you see the guy who goes heads or tails. Right. They say to you, yeah, I'll give you this if we pick one, right? And most people, it's just a chance of luck.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. But what about the guy who's not only friends with the person who's flipping it, but also friends with the person who makes the quarter, but also friends with gravity? Now, I'm not even worried about it. I don't even really need to call luck because I'm friends with everyone that makes whatever's going to happen.
Right.
So you don't have a relationship with gravity. I do. So I know how that thing is going to fall.
You know,
I have to pull the mom card, too, and say there's something about having faith. That to me, without it, and I'm not saying it's what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I say, I went to an all-girl Catholic school.
Yeah.
And I was Catholic.
Come on, man. Shout out to Play.
Went to Pitt,
right.
And I was like, what is that place? And they said, well, that's the non-denominational chapel. And I was like, what does that mean?
Wow.
That's how bad it was, right?
Right.
So whatever it is you believe in, it is.
It is.
But that's what kind of carries you through, because if you don't have that, what do you have?
Well, a lot of my friends are even like, I have friends that are atheists, and they're like, well, how are you you're friends with atheists? I'm like, because I'm friends with people that believe in something. And if they don't believe, and they're like, well, atheists believe in nothing, well, they believe in themselves.
There you go.
Better than wishy-washy friend,
silver lining, right? Sure. You know, so it's like, no matter what, you know, I'm a big movie buff, love movies, and The Right is one of my favorite movies. I love Exorcist movies. He will always ask me, what would I do if I wasn't a rapper? There's a long list of things.
You would be a comedian, I'm telling you. I would hire you.
Hey, look, listen, come on, get me up here. As long as the check clear. You know what I mean? As long as the check clear.
As long as
but there's a lot of things that I would be, which some I can say on the podcast, some I can't. But there's a long list. But one of them would probably be an Exorcist. I think that would be really cool.
What?
Yes. A surprise.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that about me at all. But I'm obsessed with that stuff. So I watched the show, and one of my favorite lines in that movie was, the guy was like, I don't believe in the devil. And the devil, he was like, well, he believes in you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that also goes with God. You don't have to believe in God for him to believe in you, right? You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like luck. You don't have to believe in luck for lucky things to happen to you. But you do have to be appreciative when they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the serendipity of these connections and how things work are great, right? So I don't even know. He might kill me for even saying this. I'll try to not say a word. Say names. I had a friend years ago. I'm still friends with her now.
Uh-huh.
We're super good friends. But we were friends. She was dating this guy who she was trying to connect me with, right? Hey, I need you to meet this guy. He makes ties. He's amazing. And I'm like, okay, dope. I'll meet him. But like at the time, I'm traveling back and forth to New York. He's grinding on his thing. We don't get a chance to meet. Eventually, him and my friend break up. Now, because I don't know him, I'm more close to my friend than I. Okay, well, good luck to the guy. Good luck with your ties. I'll talk to you soon, right? No hard feeling, but I never met him. So, not bothering me. I'm just hanging out with my girl. We celebrating her breakup. Hey, right? Years later, she's very successful now. She tells me at that point in time, hey, I think I'm going to open up my own nail salon. I go, great. Open it up. Now it's one of the biggest nail salons in the city. I go, now I'm starting to get popular, blah, 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 blah. I win the Emmy. Right now, I have been trying to get on 100.7. That's somewhere you want to go as an artist.
Yeah.
And I get the call from Bubba after I won the Emmy. I won the Emmy, and I actually was already scheduled to speak at Harvard Law. So I won the Emmy and then flew to Boston to speak at Harvard, and which was great because I didn't want to speak there as a nominee. I wanted to speak there as a winner. And I got there, and I'll never forget Bubba called me in the parking lot of a pizza place. And for that, I was like, I don't even know how he got my number, but Bubba's like a ninja. Anyway, so it worked out. So he calls me, and we talk. Anyway, I go on there. I do the interview. They're the first interview I get from winning the Emmy. But while I'm there, he's like, yo, Frizz, your style is looking great, right? At this time, I'm even still in negotiations with Steve Madden, so no one knows except for them. Like, I told him, like, maybe it might happen, but no one knew. So we're doing that, and he goes, hey, man, your style is getting good. You're getting noticed on these blogs. I got this guy named David Allen. He does suits. Mm-hmm. You should meet him. I'm like, cool. We exchange numbers, but then I'm so busy, me and David never talk for this first 3 months. I get back to the show again to do another interview. When I come back in town, he goes, yo, you should call David Allen. He's amazing, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I got you. I will, right? Eventually, me and David connect. We connect. We sit down. We talk. We go to Permandy's. Shout out to Pittsburgh, right? And we go to Permandy's. We sit down. We talk, blah, blah, blah. Great conversation. We decide that we're going to work together. We're like, man, we might be friends out here. This is a great connection. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm out here doing this and this. And we're laughing. We're talking about exes. He's like, yeah, I had an ex that she owns a nail salon now. But I had this. I used to make ties. And I'm like, wait. Wait, what? You used to make ties?
Yeah.
And it was crazy that that was David. I was supposed to, wow. I would have met David back then, which was a whole different David Allen.
Yeah.
Right? So then I meet crazy. David. We do good. He gives me the suits. I wear the suit when I'm in the Steve Madden billboard that's up in Times Square right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we just get close. He goes, hey, man, I love for you. You're doing all this press about you should do, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done your Jagoff? And I'm like, you know what? I know who they are. But, like, Jagoff is such a cultural, it's like a white thing.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know if they'll even, oh, yeah. They don't really do rappers. Like, I don't even know if I don't even know any of them. I don't know anybody who knows them.
And
like,
then we threw a couple black people your way who we knew.
Come on.
Yeah.
She did. We shall overcome.
I was like, I know we shall,
we shall overcome. I see you. But no, so then David.
And you're like, they might all look alike, but they're not all cool.
Come on.
That's, right? They're not all cool like Rachel there's, and John.
And y'all walk in slow motion, too. Y'all do. I was like, why is Rachel's hair flowing? It's not even windy out. But anyway, make a long story short, David then asks me to do his fashion show. He's like, can you come? Can you perform at the show, man? It'd be great. I want to make you another custom suit for it. Yeah, Jagoff is going to be interviewing people at the thing, and I'm like, holy, this is my chance.
You are so crazy.
But I'm like, yo, this is my chance to meet them. This is good. So when we get there, I tell my security guard, I'm like, look, so when you find them, when you see them, let me know.
Get out of town.
And we're going to sit at that. So when we're over there eating, everybody's on me, right? Because Frizzy, I'm the Emmy winner. I'm the one. I'm the biggest one there, right? Oh, Frizzy. Da, da. And I see
you are the biggest one there, yeah, for sure.
Trying to humbly.
But you were, yeah.
But I mean, everybody there was big in their yeah, categories.
Right.
Sure.
But, you know, but it was great to see the attention. Thanks to David, he has set me up to get a lot of great, amazing, yes, attention. And the connections I made there, I probably should be paying his internet bill forever for the connections he gave me. But we're sitting there, and then you guys start to interview Bonix.
Yep.
And I see it. And I look, I go, okay, so this is what I'm, because I know Bonix, I'm going to, like, happen to walk past.
This is crazy.
And Bonix is going to pull me in. And they're like, Bonix is getting interviewed. I go, but Bonix is going to pull me in. And that's how. And then I'm a shit on them. Like, we're going to connect. Because y'all were so, I'm like, their personalities are so amazing. I feel like I'm going to connect with them. And what happened? If you watch the tape, I happened to show up.
Yep.
And then Rachel's like, oh, Frizzy's here. And then
said,
Bonix,
who has the Bobby Brown suit?
Yeah. Right. Bonix, you look like Bobby. And then Bonix sees me. And then Bonix holds me down like he always does.
Yeah.
And then
another good dude.
Another great guy. Another Pittsburgher, right? And then the rest is history. The rest is Gus. Right?
Yeah, so, the Gus.
And now we're doing something that your Jagoff hasn't
done
yet.
And you touch on something, the whole black-white culture we talked about, you know, in Pittsburgh. So I grow up in a time when my father, who grew up during the 60s, racial riots,
crazy.
Like crazy, right? So Oliver High School, he tells stories about being a junior in high school, and he couldn't, I could never fathom, right?
Right, right.
So you fast forward years, it's certainly not like that anymore.
Right.
But it's a different divide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to note that the reason when you meet John and I, we aren't these yinzer speakers or epitome of white, because the word Jagoff epitomizes Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's what I had to learn that. I didn't know that.
And so I think it's so important because we've learned from it that it, as I just said about my experience at Pitt, it's about coming out of your comfort zone and figuring out that there are more people than your, you know, Italian-Irish children and in your Catholic world.
Exactly. And learning the difference of that. And learning that it's okay that a black guy won an Emmy for doing a white man's, a remix of a white, right?
That's
something,
it.
Right? So the person.
But
who,
has anyone asked you that? Has anyone said that? Because that's the craziest part.
Right.
And do we not want to admit the fact that Mr. Rogers is white bread as they get?
Oh, as they get. But he was one of the first people, like the Rooneys, who really included all races, right?
No question.
Right? And doing things in this city to show the divide. Not only show the divide, but then to show the multiplier, right?
Yeah.
The addition.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's what meant the world. To be able for the representatives for his wife, because his wife gave me permission to do it. Right?
Yeah.
For them
Which
to be like,
lot, yeah.
right, okay, Frizzy, we trust you with this, especially being a rapper, especially mm-hmm. with the stigma that comes with being a rapper.
Yeah, sure.
Or people Google me, just pictures of me with my shirt off, with tattoos. Like, I'm, sure. right? I don't, I'm not same. Like this, I'm not Macklemore.
He said same.
Well, I mean, I've seen you, with, I know what it is. They don't know yet, but they better Google it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to learn today. They're going to learn today. You know? So it's, but that's the thing that I think is what I'm all about is, mm-hmm. is showing the difference.
The diversity.
The
yeah.
diversity. When we, you know, we raised over $50,000 for the Tree of Life Synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
But that was me and Dan and Shay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a country group.
Yes.
With our hip hop group.
Right.
And we still sold it out.
Right.
Within 3 hours. Everything go that you know, I'm a gimme. C3PO, I'm a gimme. That bridge in San Francisco. And I buy this touch like where my cars go and go. And I go. If I had that ticket, cause life is sweet. With that golden ticket, I said, hey, yo, she like, yo, I'm with it. She my golden girl, like that G-Sun ain't it. Yo, I'm great. I can feel that power. They only picture me at that golden hour. I'm the king, man. I can break the mold. Now I'm heavy on your mind. I'm worth my weight in gold. Got gold in it. Everything that I bring got gold in it. Ay, my team got gold in it. My jersey 19 got gold
we
in it.
We live in the world, not to get too political, but yeah. we live in the world where you have to be extreme to be noticed.
Yes.
So all the people who get along and are in the middle and can sit and listen to each other
right.
without yeah. punching each other in the face,
right.
just kind of just, we're here in Gus and Yaya.
Right, right. 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 But I think that's why it takes people like us to be able to work harder to be put in positions to be heard.
Mm.
And that's my job. My job is literal words.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure, and this is just the mentality that my parents instilled in me, right, is to be so big in rap that no matter what you turn on the radio, TV, right, you hear me. And
yep.
if you're deaf, I'm on every TV screen, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to watch TV, if you open a magazine, I'm in every single magazine, right? And
yep.
if you don't want to be bothered with any type of technology, you hear people talking about me. No matter what, you will understand and see who I am
mm-hmm.
and hear who I am. And that's why I got to make sure
but
that everything
that
I say
up
is
with
smart.
Because your message is positive, right?
right?
So you didn't just back to the instant gratification or
right.
the pave the way kind of thing.
Right.
You worked for that.
Yeah.
Therefore, your message is positive. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Right. That's the thing about it. There's a difference in having a house you built with your hands
mm-hmm.
and just having daddy's money to buy it.
Yep.
But it goes back to when we earlier in the podcast, we asked you about at this point, you have so many people pulling at
yeah.
you, right?
Yeah.
And trying to mold you into what you should be, what they think you should be to be successful. But
right.
you seem like you've held on to
yes.
pretty much your core.
I promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that's going to change that. At all.
And how hard is that? For someone coming up that's listening to this,
yeah.
You know, whether it's a rapper, whether it's a comedian,
yeah.
whether it's an actor, or an engineer,
mm-hmm.
people are pulling at you to be something else. But
right.
how hard is it? Has it been? You know, we know we tell the story and you know of how people pulled at us, and we almost went down a road of a sponsor that we didn't really want.
It almost happened,
right?
I heard
and
story, yeah.
yeah, so here you are.
Yeah.
You want your face on the Madden billboard,
right.
but in the meantime, you're pulling away.
Patience.
People pulling at you.
Patience.
Yeah.
And knowing that just because something's given to you doesn't mean you have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like I said to you guys before, understanding the difference of popularity and success
mm-hmm.
and being okay with waiting for
mm-hmm.
your time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so it's like, I'm going to wait. I know I do analogies a lot, but I was like, I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to wait for my time. But in the meantime, I'm going to learn how to make a clock. See what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
now when my time comes, I can make it whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can make the clock go as slow as I want or as fast as I want. So there's
mm-hmm.
no more 15 minutes of fame when you
mm-hmm.
know how when you control the clock. So that's what I'm doing right now. It's like you can try to pull me or make me do stuff. And I'm also I know who I am. And I'm okay with saying no. And
mm-hmm.
if I can say no to somebody and you don't want to mess with me anymore,
mm-hmm.
then that's someone I shouldn't be dealing with in the first place. You
yeah.
got to understand and respect my schedule, respect the hard work and the grind that I put in to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
When I would meet with my management, I met with the new one. They were like, yo, what do you want to be? I was like overwhelmed.
Mm.
There you go.
If I'm doing what I'm doing in my job, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter if you're a comedian, like you said, an actor. If you Gus, right? You want to be overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's the thing. The only thing that's changed about that cart that Gus has is the paint job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it.
But it has to be harder for you. You know, even nowhere, no comparison to you, but
mm-hmm.
even us. You know, when we start, everybody thinks the podcast is all we do. We have a marketing company because we could not have thrived in a city like Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
on a simple podcast,
right?
So we grew it to a media company.
Yes.
I had two clients He had three.
Mm-hmm.
And we would bounce things off of each other.
That's amazing.
Now we have 15 together.
Right.
So we at least have each other where if I'm having a crappy day, he goes, it's all right because we have this, this, and this, and we're going to get through it.
Right.
You are by yourself.
Right.
And that has to be hard because the devil has to visit you from time to time.
Yeah,
where
he has a key.
Easily,
absolutely.
Yeah.
He has a key.
What
yeah.
is that like? What is that decision making like in your 30s versus right. where you have the world by the ass?
Right. It's, you know what, that's a great question.
It is 2-2. It is 2-2.
It's 2-2 right now. That's a great question. Can we please put that on a Jack Off t-shirt, by the way? That's a good question.
Somebody else said that to us.
We need that. Like, or like
do.
Put a poll and
that's
then people can
question,
like, or like
Jack
an app.
Yeah.
That'd be dope. But you know what, it is a great question because I think I have a great team behind me.
Okay.
Right? And no one sees them. Right, they just
right.
see me, right?
Yes.
And they think that I do it completely by myself. I think it falls into the same thing with faith, right? They think mm-hmm. I do it completely by myself. And as long as I recognize them and keep people around me that are okay with me doing what I got to do, but mm-hmm. keep pushing me, I need people to push me. Mm-hmm. And I want people to be on me because I'm on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can keep me going strong and keep me who I am, that's great. But also understanding that staying yourself is true to it. So when the devil comes to visit me, I'm just as nice as when Jesus does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing, because a lot of people don't want to, you know, I went to school, my major in school was intelligence. I minored in psychology and philosophy. I want to make sure that I am who I am no matter what. And you guys know what you're going to get. Because
mm-hmm.
there's some people you can meet on a good day. Mm-hmm. And, and you're like, man, I love being around that person. Yeah. And the next time you meet them, you're like, yo, they was mad different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because you don't really know them,
mm-hmm.
right? But also,
right.
when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to make you into who I want you to be. I'm not going to fall in love with your potential. I'm going to, right? So now I'm going to treat myself like who I know I am. Back in the day, when I was first starting as a rapper, I knew that I was going to be a legend, right? I was born to be a rapper, dying to be a legend. And that's what I want to be on my statue one day. And I told myself, I grew up in this city, and I sat with the mayor, actually, and they were like, they gave me a day, which I'm still, I cried about,
mm-hmm.
ugly face.
Well, I wouldn't, yeah.
I love the ugly face.
And, you know, this year, it's looking very good at me getting a Grammy, right?
Yes.
And then the city goes, well, you get a Grammy, what do you want, a street name? What do you want?
Yeah.
And I was like, I want a statue. Everybody laughed. Crazy. And I just like wasn't laughing. I'm like, y'all think I'm playing?
Yeah.
There's no music statues in the city.
Mm.
Yep.
Any musician
right.
ever in history.
So where would it be?
And it would be any celebrity.
Okay.
Celebrity. Say
it's
right.
gonna be celebrity. Come on, man. It ain't Shady East.
No.
But I said it to him. I said, I want a statue. Because when I was growing up, yeah, I could go to the airport and look at Franco. Or George Washington. Or I could go, shout out to George, man. It's hard out there. Right, or I could go look at Mr. Rogers, right, or I could go
sure.
look at Roberto. There's a lot of legendary ones that are culturally diverse. The statues in the city,
sure.
right, or right. So, but there's no music person. And every time I meet somebody, I hear, you know, Pittsburgh's a city of jazz, and there's so many legends out of the city.
Crazy.
But there's no statues.
No statue of George Benson.
Right?
Which is
nuts.
One. Yes.
So it goes. So now it goes. Even from a creative standpoint, it goes. If I could be that first rapper. Or musician in general to have
yeah.
a statue where my nephew or one of his friends or somebody else or your daughter or your son can go to that statue and look and be like, this is,
mm-hmm.
I want that.
Yeah.
Right? How many people visit the Rocky statue every day? He's made up.
Yeah.
He's not even a real dude to get
right.
a statue. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
And we won't even make them walk steps here.
No steps.
No steps.
You know what I mean? And hopefully I get big enough to need an elevator. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So yeah, so those
oh
are the things.
Gosh.
I mean, that for me is, that's what I want. But those are the type of goals I set.
So
that's
you need
amazing.
To remind us, it's January 11th.
January 11th.
Is Frizzy Day.
Yeah.
We're going to do some spectacular things.
We're going to do something real
listen
cool, man.
In,
just
right?
wait till they find out what we're going to do. It's going to change
Can't
the world.
Wait.
I
when are
love
the Grammys?
It. Yeah.
February.
So the nominations come out in November.
Uh-huh.
And
so it's coming.
February. Yeah,
okay.
then they're in February. And then,
okay.
I can't say that. Jeez. I'll tell you guys off the air.
Okay.
But there's other stuff that I'm doing with the Grammys.
Okay. Yeah.
That people will actually see some stuff with me and the Grammys in the next couple weeks, actually. Yeah. On Grammy.com.
But it was super cool for you to invite us to your New York apartment for the two nights before and the two
over.
Nights after.
Well, first,
sleepovers.
I mean, the fact that you
sleepover.
The fact that you were so comfortable in that room, James,
yeah.
was like amazing to me. You know
so
I mean?
Weird.
It
yeah.
was weird because
yeah.
I came out to the kitchen and he was already making a sandwich. I was like, oh, make yourself at home. But that's what he should do. You know, he should
yeah,
do that.
He's like that.
Right, right, right.
He just covering up his tattoos.
I'm coming to y'all house. I'm farting. I'm going
to. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, you know, she's going to call me.
That's when we know we're real friends.
That's when you know you're real. Right? You can be butt naked making Kool-Aid in somebody's kitchen. You know? That's what
I don't
that's,
think I've ever done that.
Yeah. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be pictures on your jagoff.com. Please go look at it.
I can't even tell you how much fun this is just hanging out at Gus's.
I am more than impressed. Blew me away, right? I'm in mom mode, but I can't help it.
This is the first time we've ever done it. You've stretched our hamstrings, and this is so much fun to do this.
Thank
with you
for being flexible.
No, thank you for being an example.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you are leading the next charge. As we talked about on the shorter podcast, there's Wiz, there's Mac Miller,
right.
And then there will be Frizzy.
Yes. Yes, there will be.
And I mean, there is, but
there
you know
is.
What I'm saying?
Well, no,
talk there. The same in the same circle.
Exactly,
order.
Right.
Because you're not done.
Oh,
so.
not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Like I said, I know how to build clocks.
Yeah.
Right? And I think time
brilliant.
Has existed before us and it will after us.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I'm trying to do things to make sure my name lives on. People ask me, one of my role models is Achilles from Greek times, right? The one who killed Hector and did all that. So for me, that's what he was all about. It was all about his name being remembered. So if I could tell anybody anything or any of the Jagoff listeners listening, when in Rome, be Zeus.
Mm. Nice.
That's my thing.
Last question I have for you.
Okay, come on. Hit me.
I know it's going to be. Wait.
What is it going to be?
Because we got in the car after the podcast and he goes, what if he seriously was with Eminem and he called me?
I know. Because it's probably going to happen. That's why.
Where,
I keep my word.
And maybe we have to edit this and say no, but
okay.
Where did Frizzy come from?
Oh, we don't have to edit it out. I like it man. We keep it all in here. So when I started rapping, my rap name used to be Freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That was who I was. And even to this day, my friends call me Free.
Okay.
That's just who I used to be.
Okay.
So and I may even name my son Free because I don't want to name him after my real name. So I like, name him Free.
I love your real name.
Right? Shout out to Wikipedia. And, but no, so I used to be Freestyle, right? Because I could just freestyle about anything. That was who
everybody
told me that. But then when I sat down with Sony the first time, I got my demo deal, they were like, yo, I used to listen to Swiss. I still listen to Swiss beats, and on tracks used to go Swizzy on tracks all the time, right?
Wiki.
Wait, right?
Yeah,
On the back in the background of like all the rappers rapping, you just like Swizzy all the time. So I was like, oh, that's so dope. Swizzy is so dope. So then I started saying, oh, if I did that with my name, Freestyle, I'd be Frizzy.
Oh,
Freestyle and Izzy is buzzed together. And I was like, oh, I'll spell it weird. I'll spell it Frzy instead of spelling with I. And it actually didn't exist anywhere either. So I was like, this is
easy
before
enough.
Social media, but it was easy enough.
Yeah.
So I went to the Sony meeting and they were like, listen, we love Freestyle. We think it suits you perfectly, but it's also way too common of a name. Like if you, no matter how big you get Frizzy, if you Google Freestyle, there's too many things in the world that are associated with Freestyle. It may be difficult to find you. Like if you do something great on the same day that the Olympic Freestyle champions,
it's
going to be hard to find you. Or if people are freestyling battling, it's going to be, right, especially with YouTube at that time, was like starting to take off. It was like, yo, this is a difficult thing. But your AKA Frizzy is cool and it's unique and it's dope and it's only four letters. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's dope. Frizzy, that would go great. And now it's on a plaque for a day forever.
Love
it's forever. Wild, man.
Yeah.
Forever, ever.
And now you're our friend, and we're lucky to say it.
And you're texting me back, man. We got each other's phones.
And Addie's going to call you tonight.
Oh,
come on. That's my girl.
Yeah.
I got my Snapchat filters ready. I'm like, looking like a fairy or something.
Cannot thank you enough. Tell her. So Gold is your current?
Gold in it, man. It's the big record, man.
Yep.
Golden is the big record. It's getting pushed everywhere. Spinning on all radio stations, all streaming networks. We're about to start shooting a music video for it. We actually already shot a couple scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So the music video will be everywhere, MTV, BET, everywhere. You pay for cable, hopefully. You got it?
Yeah.
If not, it's online for free. Yeah. You can pirate it. It's okay.
Sometimes.
I'm from the city of the pirates. It's cool.
Yeah.
But that's not. But yeah, no, Golden is we're pushing out, produced by Mason Tomlin, Mike Tomlin's son, which was great. And D-Roy, which is part of Music and Life. He's a Grammy-winning producer with Jay-Z and everybody in New York City. And he's doing amazing. So bringing them two together to make Credit Beat is crazy. I'll be performing it, actually, in the holiday parade this year. As
can't
well.
Wait. We'll be there. We'll get there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, y'all going to be there. If not, y'all be on my float.
All
be
cool. Right. It's done. You're
there's enough room. You know what I'm saying? There's enough room. Trust me.
I love it.
But, yeah, so it's just pushing this record, trying to make history, and trying to be someone great, trying to be heard. And thanks to you guys.
And you're
you
and
are.
On top of that, we'll just add for you, because you might not say it, you're trying to be good.
better.
Just a good person.
Just a good person.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not hard to do.
It's harder to do the wrong thing than to do the right thing.
It is, because it becomes, if you got to think about it right. Well, you know what they say, though. Sometimes when you do something right, it should seem like you've done nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Shout out to the people who think we're doing nothing, right?
This is so, yeah. Frizzy, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, yo, mates, they nasty. Question. Yo, got gold in it. That thing that I bring.
Rorik Honda is all about family. In fact, Rorik wants you to test drive the ultimate family vehicle, the Honda Odyssey.
Rorik treats you like family with his Rorik Advantage, which is helpful tips and must-haves as long as you are a customer. So check out YaJagoff.com for clips from our trip, and as always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
Yo, Stillers, what up?